Welcome. Thanks for tuning in.
So, hi. Today we are going to talk about 3 pitfalls of engaging leadership in CX transformation.
See,
nice. But first, of course, the personal question to get to know you a little bit better.
Bring it on.
Favorite color?
Favorite color?
That's an interesting question.
That's an interesting question. The first thing that pops in my head is orange, but that's just because, for two reasons. One is because we just decided to start a new podcast specifically for government in the Netherlands.
That was the first thing I think about when you say orange.
Oh, really? Yeah. And so that has a nice orange background because, of course, it's a Dutch podcast. But then I'm also not sure if I mentioned it already on a previous podcast. So at the risk of you thinking she's completely nuts, but I'm also a fan of Bitcoin. I've been investing for the last 2 years, 1,000 hours to understand it. Mm-hmm. And that also has an orange logo. And they also talk about orange pilling. So if you explain if you explain Bitcoin to people and they are excited and they get it, they like in the Matrix, you have the red pill and the blue pill. They say, we've orange pilled somebody.
Yeah, so I like that one.
That's why orange is more, has a lot of positive connotations in my brain.
So orange.
So orange for now.
Nice. Yeah, for now.
Don't pin me to it.
I ask you again in 3 weeks.
Exactly.
So the pitfalls of engaging leadership in CX transformation.
Yeah, so the reason that I thought this would be a nice podcast is because I think it's a topic that a lot of CX teams are struggling with. So the question I get a lot when I start projects with organizations is, hey Zana, we are struggling to engage management. We're struggling to engage the directors. And they feel sort of that they need to start there. And I think that's one of the risks, because there are 3 reasons why maybe the strategy is not working.
Mm-hmm.
Reason numero uno
See?
Is that I also, some organizations say when we start talking about CX, we need a business case to convince leadership.
Yeah.
My answer to that is twofold. One is that, yes, 10, 15 years ago, you needed a business case to prove that CX yields financial results.
Yeah.
But the good news is that the Forresters, the McKinseys, also we have proven many times with organizations that there's a lot of proof that yes, CX will yield financial results.
Mm-hmm.
Not any CX, so you need to have sort of a threshold of at least an 8 in satisfaction, for example, 8, 9, or 10, or your NPS, I don't know, plus 50, plus 70. But then you see more retention, more repeat purchases, also reduction in costs that we've seen several times. So that proof is there. So I think the mistake that a lot of people or CX teams make is that they feel, okay, but if there's a business case, then they are more engaged. And the reason why that often not happens is, one is that if I'm truly not convinced about CX,
mm-hmm.
each business case has a peep load. I already bleeped myself. Has a lot of assumptions.
Yeah.
So if I'm not convinced that CX works, I will not be convinced by a business case, because I can shoot at all your assumptions. But also what I tend to see is that it's not so much that they need proof that it yields financial results. Mm-hmm. They already know that. But what's lacking is, let's say, the hard steerable data. So when you talk about, let's say, color profiles, there are a lot of blue-oriented people in companies that want to have numbers. What's missing is the research that they have, for example, is not translating it into hard steerable information. So what I tend to see is that when you have hard steerable information, the need for a business case sort of dies down, because now they have what they were looking for. Okay, but how can we, let's say, start yielding that result? Well, because now we know, I don't know, improving personal attention is 5 times faster than, I don't know, the My account, just as an example.
Yeah, exactly. So you're talking about finding the drivers of satisfaction.
Yeah, so indeed, often it feels, okay, we need steerable information, so let's do a business case.
Yeah.
And my advice is let's not do the business case, but let's make sure that you really get the steerable information. Because even if you would have a business case, then still the second question is, okay, but how do we get there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's say pitfall number one. Be careful when you feel that you need a business case to engage leaders. That, in my experience, is not the best approach.
Yeah, exactly. Any other time in the project that you want to do a business case, or you say you don't need a business case at all?
Well, I used to say, and I would still say, I'm hoping that we don't need a business case. But the interesting thing is that, so with several organizations, when we were doing the program, at one point, there was this question, hey, but it still might be interesting to see how it works in our case. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're convinced, but can we compare, I don't know, customers that rate us an 8+ with customers that rate us lower, and do we see any difference?
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, locations that have different scores. And to me, every time, it's the same with the driver analysis. So I've done 250 driver analysis. But every time we do a new one, I'm still sort of, you know, excited. Do we again have a high explained variance, which means is the model valid or not?
Yeah.
Let's keep it for short for now. And I have the same with the business case. So every time, because every time that we have done it, we've seen super clear proof. Yes, mm-hmm. customers are more happy, have higher financial, whether it's revenue or GP or it doesn't matter, than customers that have lower or locations that have lower scores.
Yeah.
But then still, every time I feel sort of a yes, again, we've proven with hard data, yes, it works. And now when I'm talking about it, why does that excite me every time? Because I think that one of the biggest risks right now in CX is that CX is gaining importance, mm-hmm. but the quality of CX, in my opinion, is getting lower.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the issues is that a lot of CX programs don't have enough focus on speaking the language of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I make it less fluffy? How can I create hard steerable information?
Yeah.
So whenever again we have case, you know, 385 that proves yes, we have hard data, then it's still nice because it adds to, let's say, the toolkit of yes, it yields definitely financial results.
Yeah. Exactly.
But you have to know how to get there.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So don't start with a business case. Pitfall number one.
Yes.
Number two.
Pitfall number two, it's connected. So we just mentioned already about the drivers.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of CX research tends to be on the qualitative side. For example, mapping the emotional journey or using quotes of customers. And I think that's super valuable if you want to help people in your organization understand really sort of the emotional impact that things are having.
Yeah.
So if you want to get some engagement, okay, but CX matters because it's more human perspective, then definitely use qualitative research to find it. Have quotes, have videos. But again, connecting back to, as we just said, that most people and organizations need hard, steerable information. Then, okay, you could say I have not only qualitative research, I have quantitative research,
mm-hmm.
like NPS. And NPS has root causes. But if you want to know more, maybe listen to our podcast. I think it's called Finding the Drivers of CX.
Yeah.
I think it's number 3, something like that. The episode number 3 about the technique. Because also with NPS, you can not say, okay, personal attention is 5 times faster to increase the NPS than, I don't know, the My Account. Again, I'm using that example.
Mm-hmm.
You might count the number of times that people have chosen, hey, but personal attention is the reason why I'm giving a high or a low score.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same as knowing cause and effect. They're latent needs.
Yeah.
So they might say it's about speed, it's about quality, while their subconscious need is often much softer as well. And it's not so much that it's always softer, because also in a social services environment, we saw, for example, that the time it takes between applying for benefits and actually receiving it was definitely a number one driver. So the transactional stuff can be a number one driver.
Yeah.
But of course, in this case, I cannot, you know, pay for my food if I don't get paid, right? So it's a very different context.
Yeah.
So I think here it's really crucial that, let's say the pitfall is that the CX research is too vague, too abstract, too qualitative.
Yeah.
So make sure that you balance both to really get them engaged, because what we see is when we present what we call the driver analysis. So you see super clear, hey, these 3 statements have X times more impact than other statements. or hey, these statements that we all thought were relevant, I don't know, invoicing is not doing anything,
mm-hmm.
that's sometimes even more valuable, right, mm-hmm. to remove assumptions. And in that sense, you need to really balance out the steerable information versus the, yeah, let's say the context of, okay, connecting it to a customer called Miranda, their specific context.
Yeah.
And then combine both to really engage leaders, because that was the point I was trying to make. When we present those drivers, then a lot of managers that see it say, hey, can we make our journey part of the next pilot?
Yeah.
So instead of you working really hard to convince them, you create this pool strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a really valuable tip, if we say so ourselves.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And another tip, because you talked a little bit about NPS and root causes. If you want to know more, we also have a podcast of that. And it's called The Sense and Nonsense of NPS.
Oh, yeah. Very good addition. Yeah.
If you want to know more.
Yes.
Pitfall number three.
Pitfall number three, last but not least. This is sort of a, let's say, a reflection to the average CX professional. Because often what I also hear when I talk to CX professionals, they're saying something like, you know, the response when I'm in a meeting is that they are saying, oh no, that's Zana again from the CX department. Not the super energizing response you would like to get. And the underlying cause of that is that a lot of CX professionals, they are so, let's say, intrinsically motivated to help customers, that they are, you know, telling to everyone, hey, we need to focus more, we're not doing it enough. So you run the risk of being seen as this person that is always telling us we never do anything right. And that might be a bit useful in the beginning, but also there, I would always be very careful to go in that energy,
mm-hmm.
right? I would always try to really empathize and understand their context and say, hey, but this is how you can be more effective.
Yeah.
And then integrate CX in that, instead of saying, you know, this is not right, we need to change it, etc. Have I been there myself? Absolutely. So I know the pitfall.
Mm-hmm.
So learn from my mistakes. And yeah, just really, you know, focus on their context. They have a really complex context to manage.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't have time for CX, it's not sort of a personal, hey, they don't like CX. It's, oh my God, I have 11 other priorities and CX is one of them.
Yeah.
And it's not sort of their fault, but they are also stuck in this system where a lot of layers are pushing in different directions.
Yeah.
So I think it's also a bridge for after the pitfall, but we need to show the leaders a little more love. But pitfall number three, indeed, make sure that you keep focusing on a positive attitude and not the, you know, come around with your CX whip and say, you're not doing this right.
Yeah. Good one. Good one. So these are the three pitfalls.
Yes.
And I'm hearing you say a little bit more love.
Yeah.
I'm really curious.
Yeah. A little bit of empathy for the leader. So for me, I think when you start Googling on leadership, I think there's not a lot of research that is praising the the average leader. I think if you Google, it's, I don't know, you have too much ego, it's too much short term, there's not enough sustainability, it's not enough customer centricity. If you Google, I don't think there's anything you can do right as a leader right now. And I think, you know, that's not sort of their fault, first of all. Next to that, of course, if it would really be that bad, a lot of companies would be way less successful.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. But yeah, I think we should really be more empathetic to their context, to their struggles, to not judge them so hard. And to just see, okay, if this is your week, the sessions you're having, the meetings you're having, how can I help you be successful? What goals do you need to achieve? Okay, so you have 10 priorities. Instead of me knocking on your door saying, hey, I have priority number 11.
Yeah.
It's back a bit to the last podcast where we shared, okay, so what are 7 ways to how you can really get CX in the DNA? is to really make sure you integrate it. Okay, so not make it goal number 11 and they are completely overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you have 10 goals. Okay, one goal is, I don't know, digitization. Okay, how can we connect your digitization to the drivers of CX?
Yeah.
Okay, you need to do something with empowering your employees. How can you use that to empower them to create better customer experience? And so really help them, show them a little love. They are struggling. I by now definitely don't have the arrogance to say, okay, if I would be a leader, that I would do it completely different. I've seen so many people just getting stuck in that system.
Mm-hmm.
That I think, indeed, that's really... Once you focus on the system, you have, I think, more understanding of, okay, but how can I connect with them so that we can indeed be successful in CX and not be sort of opposite of each other.
Yeah, I love it.
Thank you.
Anything else for this podcast?
Well, I think also here, what I tend to see is, so some CX professionals are saying, yeah, the leadership, they don't have enough time, they don't prioritize CX. My sort of cold, Dutchly blunt response would be, okay, if that's what's happening, then really reflect on how you are approaching them. Because in my experience, I've seen, let's say, 90% of leaders are super willing to help, to support their employees, to support you and your CX program. Just make it really tangible to them.
Yeah.
Because they're saying, yes, I want to help, but what can I do? So make it really tangible, make it concrete, make sure they see the value in it. Because if they don't see the value, then you're just that priority number 11, which is giving them more headaches. And so make it really tangible. And then in my experience, they also are really energized to start experimenting with their own tiny habits. So I think the way that you sort of position yourself, standing next to them, instead of standing across from them, mm-hmm. I think that's a key difference.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else you want to share about the next podcast?
About the next podcast? I think we still need to figure out what will be the next podcast,
I
right?
I think so, yeah.
If you have any suggestions, any requests, always happy to oblige. So feel free to let us know if there's any topic where you feel, hey, that would be a nice next podcast to record. I think, now you're mentioning, I think one of the next podcast for us is the interview with Sam Stern. I think that will be one of our next podcasts.
Ah, yeah. End of October.
Yeah, so that's where we talk about customer-centric culture, which I'm not sure if I've been really explicit in it in previous podcasts, but culture tends also to be vague, mm-hmm. abstract, 10-year, blah, blah, blah. So I'm always a bit, let's say, skeptical. Because I'm always challenging everyone to make it really tangible. Because, of course, we are also working on culture, but just not mentioning the word culture. And we have tiny habits. We have, you know, all these interventions. So it was a nice sort of challenge to have the interview with Sam. And he has three really concrete tips on how you can actually do this. So, yeah, I think it's a nice podcast to make the culture thing also a little less abstract.
Cool. And you're also in the podcast of Sam, right?
Oh yeah, vice versa as well. So Sam just released the first, because we were talking that much that he said, I need to split it in two. So the first one he just shared, I think last week, it's all about neat metrics and how do you really be in the driving seat of CX.
Mm-hmm.
And the second part is more on the transformation side. I think that will be out in the next 1 or 2 weeks.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Great.
All right. On to the next one.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening.
Ciao.
Ciao.